Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good evening. Can anybody hear me? I can't hear nobody. I think I'm going to hang up. Call back.
You know what? I'm sitting here talking. I'm the one on mute.
Oh, okay. Hello.
Hello. Good grief. I'm sitting here just going away, too. All right, hold on just a second. Let me do this. Wow. Where is your sister Mary at?
She must have been taking up our caller.
Okay. All right. Amen.
All right.
I was wondering why people was coming in and out. All right. So I pray that you can hear me now. Didn't realize I had muted myself. Anyway, we greet you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the love of our soul and the rock of our faith. We are going to be continuing in the Elohim of the Blood Covenant, Discipleship, Part 5. And in this Part 5, we want to be dealing with, you know, Romans chapter 12 and 13. But I also am in the mood for, you know, to praise the Most High and to worship Him.
Yeah.
It is just, you know, have to go there. We greet you wherever you're at in the world, and Blog Talk, Pal Talk, on the internet in general, whether you're in South America or North America, whether you're on the African continent or in the European theater. And we want to, as I said this morning, we want to recognize our new listeners that are in Ireland, Great Britain, Finland, France, Germany, Poland. You know, it's like we are picking up traction in the European theater and in the Far East. North Korea, no, not North Korea, but South Korea, Japan, Russia. I do believe we have some listeners. I have to look in China as well. Anyway, on the African continent, Ghana, and in South Africa, we greet you in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And of course, everybody that's in the U.S., we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved. We are continuing from this morning on discipleship, and I don't know how many parts this will have to it. I have, like I said, I have a bunch of scripture concerning discipleship, and I'm sort of doing this ad hoc. So we'll go through the verses, but I don't have it broken up into any particular lessons at this point. Maybe the next time that I go back through this, I will organize it a little bit more different, you know, a little bit differently. Nevertheless, we know that being a disciple of the Most High, a disciple of Messiah, that, you know, one of the things, well, the first things we've learned already is, number one, we got to want the kingdom, and we got to want it with our whole heart. It's got to be the most important thing to us. We can't desire anything greater than we desire the kingdom and Messiah. And so he has to be that important in our lives. So what we're going to cover in Romans chapter 12, it's going to be right in line with this on this evening. But I also, as I said, want to play a few praise songs before we jump into this. So if you don't want to hear the praise music, you know, you can mute your line or what have you. But I love praise and worship. I love the word, and I also love praise and worship. And I really love corporate worship. I can't sing. But I can sing in the background. You ain't got to hear me. But I just love praise and worship. So I love music, kind of tone deaf, I think. But I love, you know, the worship of the Most High. So I just want to play a couple of songs before we get started. Put you in the mind frame of going before the Most High, you know, and praising and worshiping Him and giving Him glory. Okay, we're going to go ahead and sound the shofar for the end of the Sabbath. So let me do this. Thank you. right, amen. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let's turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. And I seem like I missed something, but I don't remember which one I missed. Nevertheless, let us give the Most High a hand cup of praise on this evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. We just want to worship and praise you on this evening, Father. We just want to give you glory and honor. You are my Elohim, Father. And I bow down to you. Hallelujah. I submit myself, Father, totally 100% to your will, to walk in your way, and to worship you, Father, and to obey your voice as you have commanded. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father, for all that you do. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for your salvation and your redemption. Hallelujah. Who is like unto you, O Yah? There is none like unto you, Father. No, not one. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. And before, let's go ahead and pray in, and then I'm so anxious to just go before the Most High in song. If I could sing, I would.
I would too, bro.
Hallelujah. You know, I had to learn to stay in my lane.
Me too. Me too.
All
bro,
right. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Father, bless each and every person who is listening or who desired to call in and was not able to, or was not able to get on the internet and to listen. Bless them wherever they may be at, all those who may be in the hospital and struggling with COVID or with any other disease, Father. Look down upon them. Reach down and touch them. Heal them in their body, Father, as your perfect will. Give them strength. Let them feel your presence and that you are with them.
Hallelujah.
In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. So just bear with me. We will do the scripture reading after this, and then we will jump into this precept.
I'm at a loss for words. Stand the chance.
Stand the chance.
To my praise.
Stand the
I'd wait. I'd wait. So I'm Somebody lift your voice in this place. Somebody lift up your voice in this place.
My Lord,
how deep desert needs the rain.
The desert needs the rain.
I need the rain. And then the
ocean needs.
Like a desert needs the rain.
Desert needs the rain.
If you need the Most High, you ought not be bashful about telling Him how much
Amen.
You need. Hallelujah. Because I need
Hallelujah.
It.
It's
my
do.
Very
I
necessary.
Want it.
Amen.
Necessary.
Amen.
It's
Go
necessary.
To the book of Psalms.
Hallelujah.
Psalms 145. Psalms 145, starting in verse 1. I will extol thee, O my Elohim, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise
Amen.
Thy name forever and ever. Great is
Amen.
Yah, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation
Amen.
Shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Yah is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. Yah is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Yah, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. The kingdom is an ever. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Yah upholdeth all that fall, and raises up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee. Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Yah is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. Yah is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to do that to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. Yah preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of Yah, and let all flesh bless. All flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of the word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Let us go to the book of Romans, chapter 12. The book of Romans, chapter 12, and we will start in verse 1. Now, this is discipleship, and we're talking about, you know, how we walk with the Most High and what's his expectation of us. And for me, these verses right here just really sums it all up. And if you can put your mind, you know, in these verses, empathize in the verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Elohim, which is your reasonable service. That mindset, we are the sacrifice. Our lives, our dedication to the Most High. He says that we should present ourselves as that living sacrifice, acceptable and holy to him. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. This is where our focus has to be. If we want to be good disciples, he has called you to be a servant. But first, you have to be that sacrifice, and you have to have died to this world. That's why when we were yet sinners, when we came to the Most High, and he said, okay, you're a sinner. You are in transgression. Everything that old man did, You were supposed to kill it and die to it. I used to do these things, but I found out that they were against the Most High Elohim, and I don't do them anymore. I am dead to those things. That's supposed to be our mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Then we were supposed to get baptized. Because in baptism, we are buried with him. In baptism. This is how the Most High gives you credit for death. And it says when you come up out of that water, you're a new creation, a new creature, clean slate. And then you are a suitable what? Sacrifice, because you are unblemished. He said, now this is your reasonable service. I'm not asking you too much. I'm not asking you to bend over backwards and do somersaults and three cartwheels and the splits. Examine your life. All those things that are unlike him, all those things that you know are sin, you're supposed to kill them so that you can be without blemish and you can be an acceptable sacrifice unto the Most High, because the sacrifices are to him. And they're supposed to be what? A sweet smell in his nostrils. So when you go before him in praise and in worship, when you go before him and present yourself, he said, I don't want your praise and your worship if you are in sin. It's because it stinks to him. It is blemished. So you must find out what is the acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. As a disciple, you have to be sober. You have to be sober-minded. There's no way that you can minister. You don't know when the Most High is going to need to use you. And if you're walking around drunk or high, do you really think the Most High is going to use you in that in any capacity while you're that way? Would you even feel comfortable if somebody came to you and said, you know, I need for you to pray for me, and you know you just smoked a joint? Or you drank, you know, half a bottle, half a fifth of alcohol. And so there's a time for everything. And he says, give strong drink to them that are ill or they're going through some type of heavy burden. But it's not something that we should be doing on a regular or just because we can. Because, you know, if I come up to somebody and ask them to pray for me, and while they're praying, I'm smelling alcohol, my mind is not on the Most High. My mind is on who in the heck am I letting pray for me? And do you think that that prayer is going to be effective? No. Because faith has to be on all parties involved. The person praying has to have faith. The person being prayed for has to have faith and believe that the prayer is going to reach the Most High. So we're talking. I'm telling you I'm going through something. And then you told me, well, I just smoked a joint. And I'm like, okay, don't worry. I ain't going to ask you to pray for me. Because I don't want no other influence coming between me and the Most High if you're not being right. I don't know what spirit might have gotten on you. So we have to be sober as disciples. Sober. According as Elohim has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, we don't all have to be at the same level. But there's some things, you know, faith has to deal with what you believe. It has to deal with your belief system. So your faith, we can all be at different levels of what faith, as the Most High has given it to us. But it don't take faith not to smoke or not to drink or not to do drugs. It takes a commitment that you're not going to defile yourself. You're going to present yourself a living sacrifice. I think that, you know, if it was an animal and we knew that there was, you know, something wrong with this animal, we wouldn't give it to the Most High as a sacrifice. And we got to think of ourselves in the same way, that living, breathing sacrifice unto Him. So as a disciple, you got to be living a sober life. You got to be available for duty anytime. People can call you at any time. They, I know that you're a man or a woman of the Most High. At least you say you are. And I'm going through right now. I just need some prayer, but they don't know you just came from getting high. That doesn't work. And that'll bring damnation. And here this person is thinking that they have come to somebody to get a word through to the Most High, and that word ain't going nowhere. It's just something that's just been thrown up. But the Most High won't accept it, because He demands that we be sober. You couldn't even enter into the tabernacle or into the temple if you've been drinking. Much less doing any other type of, you know, drug. Can't come to work on duty for the Most High drunk or buzzing. He didn't say you can't drink. You off duty? Go ahead and get your buzz on if that's what you want to do. Just don't be living to get your buzz on. But the problem is that when you are a saint of the Most High, you don't know when somebody's going to need a word from the Most High. You don't know when somebody's going to come and say, oh, my child is in the hospital and I need for you to pray. Well, you know, yeah, I'll get with you. Sometimes there's an immediacy if it's an emergency. And so we have to always be ready. You can never run somebody from the Most High because we got some bad habits. We got some things that we ain't over with yet. You know, I pray that if we got some of those things going on, that if I call you for prayer and you got that going on, you tell me. Because if I sense it, I'm going to be like, hold up a minute. Wait a minute. I don't want to offend nobody, but no, we can't do this. Because I know that they don't call it spirits for no reason.
Amen.
Alcohol. They don't call it spirits for no reason. And weed goes right along with that. So sober. Having your mental faculties about you. Let's go to Romans. Let's drop down to verse 11. So we're supposed to offer ourselves that living, to be that living sacrifice acceptable to the Most High. You can't make your own standard. You gotta meet His standard. Whatever He says is acceptable. And if you find out what He says is acceptable and you don't measure up, then you need to do those things so that you measure up. Don't expect the Most High to change to find you acceptable. You need to change to make yourself acceptable to Him. Verse 11. Not slothful in business, Now, that's if we're in business. But if you work for somebody, you're not supposed to be slothful. You're not supposed to be lazy. Why? Because of who you represent. So if you're doing a work for the Most High, you're supposed to do it with all of your heart, your whole heart. If you're not working for him and you're working for the world and you're representing, you're telling them, hey, I'm a child of the Most High, then you can't be slothful. Because you're saying you represent the Most High, and if they meet, they meet three or four so, quote unquote believers who all got the same mentality, they're lazy, then that's how typically, a group gets a reputation. No, don't hire them because they're lazy. Okay. But when you do it as unto the Most High, then you're putting your all into it every day because of who you represent. And we got to always put that before us. Every corporate job that I had, they first knew that I was a man of the Most High. That was first. And so I never wanted them to see me in any other type of character, any other type of way. And I always strove to be the best at whatever I was doing. I'm going to be the expert, not really for myself, because of who I represent. And the Most High would always give me favor in those jobs. And so we're not to be slothful, not to be lazy. If not for ourselves, then because of who we represent. That's why you can't be going out there in the street, presenting yourself just any and every kind of way. Yeah, I'm a child of the Most High, a Hebrew Israelite, and then they see you doing everything that they know is not supposed to be done. You're cussing, you're drinking, you're smoking. I see you're chasing. You seem like you're very immoral, but you're a child of the Most High. That doesn't go together. It doesn't work. And so you have to realize who you represent. I am a child of the Most High Living Elohim, the Most High Living God. That has to mean a great deal to you. It has to. It has to be more important than anything else in your life, number one. But then you have to take into consideration who you represent. Who's daddy? Would he be pleased with my actions? What am I telling the world? That's why the Most High said for Israel, don't be telling nobody you're my children. Don't be telling nobody that you're my people and you're not in the land. Because you caused them to profane my name. And they say, hey, he wasn't able to keep you. But we as Hebrew Israelites don't want to hear that. But the truth of the matter is, I don't go around telling people that's who I am. I tell our people that's who we are. But I don't announce it to the world. Because I know what he says, it causes them to profane his name. And I don't want to cause anybody to profane his name. I don't want to profane his name. So as we know better, we have to do better. Because our people are not representing the Most High the way he ought to be represented. We're thinking we're in this world and we're just struggling to make it. No, we can do better than that. All we got to do is believe and commit. I am a child of the Most High, the creator of the universe. He's going to make me a God. Let me put it to you this way. And this is really what it means to be a child of the Most High. When the scripture says, did ye not know that you are gods? Do we really understand what he's saying? If our Father is a God and we are his children, then what does that make us? We only know of the human part of it. But the truth of the matter is, we are what? Gods. And we serve an Elohim that is so perfect that he will not let you come forth as an evil God. He will destroy you first, even as his child. Can't let you come forth and manifest God power in your evil. And so if we wanna, you know, let me put this in another way. See if it makes more sense, more clarity. Inside of a seed, inside of an apple seed, or an orange seed, or a watermelon seed, any type of seed, are all the instructions for whatever it is to become. So an apple seed has all the instructions in it to become an apple tree. The seed is the condensed form of what? The tree. You put the seed in the dirt, it starts to grow and starts to show its expressed self, its expressed image. But everything for that seed to become that tree is in that seed in a condensed form. We are in seed form right now. And we're in condensed form. And the truth of the matter is, you don't know what you look like. Because you're not in your express form.
Amen.
That's why he says he gives you a body as it pleases you.
Pleases him.
As it pleases him. That's why it says, we haven't seen him in his express form.
Amen.
That's why it says, beloved, now are we the sons of what? Elohim. But it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that we will be like him, for we will what? See him as he really is. We haven't seen his express form, and he hasn't yet shown us our express form. So you think you might look, you thinking you're going to look like you look now. You might. Chances are you will not. Because he says in the resurrection, when we come up, he's going to give us a body as it pleases him. He knows what we look like. But this is a whole nother different lesson. Nevertheless, we have to be sober. We have to be not slothful in business. We have to present ourselves that living sacrifice. We can't be running around, you know, drunk. We've got to understand who we represent. A child of the Most High. And when we get our eternal body, it's not going to look like this. This whole world is not going to look like this in the kingdom. He tells us all the water is going to go away. All the atmosphere is going to go away. That means that we're going to be designed to live outer space without a suit. If there's no water on this earth, if there's no air, and you're on this earth, if there's no air, what are you living in? Outer space. Because the only thing that's keeping outer space from us is the atmosphere. If he rolls the heavens back and this all this air goes away, and nothing on the planet is going to require air or water, it's a whole different atmosphere. It's a whole different environment. That's why when we went through and I showed you the description of the Most High in the scriptures, as it describes him, his color being that of amber, looking like hot lava. That's how he looks. That's how, what Ezekiel saw. When you look at the angels that showed up when Messiah was resurrected, the angel looked like lightning, looked like electricity. Like, you know, you see the TV where they have the static electricity, that buzzing. Read that description. That's how that angel looked. So we're thinking that, you know, this is how we're going to look, and it's not how we're going to look. But nevertheless, we got to recognize who we are and who we represent. Go to Romans chapter 13. The book of Romans chapter 13. Let's get verses 12 through 14. Romans chapter 13, verses 12 through 14. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness. That's going around sleeping with everybody. Chambering is going to bed with someone, and wantonness is, you know, sexual desire. Not in strife and envy, but put you on Yeshua HaMashiach, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You want to be a good disciple? And your spiritual life has to come first. You have a husband or a wife, then you can take care of those things too. But the truth of the matter is, even in a marriage, you just can't give yourself wholly, totally to the Most High, because you have a spouse that you have to take care of. That's why it says it's better not to marry, because then you can give yourself 100% to him. But if you have a spouse then and children, then, you know, they have a precedence. And the Most High don't expect you to neglect them. But you got to also know what their priority is. He has to always be number one priority. He will make sure that you have room to take care of your spouse and your children. Verse 14 again. But put you on Yeshua HaMashiach, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Can't just be living to fulfill this flesh. Can't be the main priority in your life, whether you're married or not. Go to Romans chapter 14. And I've done a lesson on the complete Romans 14. As I said, for me, I see Romans 14 as a test in the scripture. Nevertheless, Romans 14 and 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. You know, you got people that just want to argue the scriptures. And they're telling you something that they heard. Not anything that they really know, but something that they heard. And then they want to argue about it because they feel some type of way. That's why you have to be grounded and rooted in the scriptures. You got to know what you know. You got to know that you know it. That you can't be moved off of it, because you got, you know, got all kind of people out here. I'll tell you somebody you don't ever want to run into. If you don't know the scriptures, you don't never want to run into a Satanist. Because they know the Bible. And will use it against you. And have you believing some things or stepping backwards, you know, if depends upon what their motive is. They'll have you believing some things, and before you find out, you have gone down a road until you find out, oh, wait a minute. You don't actually believe in the same God I believe. Your God is Satan. Well, yeah, but that's not how you led me to believe. You used God. You didn't say who. Because we say God and everybody, you know, because we're of like minds, we have the same entity in mind. But you might be talking to somebody that don't believe the Most High is God.
Amen.
But you're thinking that you got a friend. And that y'all on the same page. But you're talking about two completely different entities. So, when you're talking about the scriptures, make sure that you know what you're talking about. And then somebody that's weak in the faith, you don't let them drag you down paths and get into arguments about all kind of different things that don't, the only thing it causes is a contention. Just want to argue for argument's sake. I got something to say. Got to know. And then when you're listening to people teach, you got to also be on guard for what they're teaching, even with me. You should be checking it in with the Most High. Because as I told you, I don't want you following me. Got to check it in with the Most High. All right. Romans chapter 15. The book of Romans chapter 15. Verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. Because, you know, we feel like we got it going on. We can coast. But we're always supposed to be helping the weakest link. We're supposed to be trying to bring everybody across the finish line together. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Did it say let every one of us please ourselves? Hello?
No.
No, please, your neighbor.
All right, thank you. That's hard for a lot of people to do. It's hard to put others before ourselves. It's hard to say, you know what? Let me look out for your good first.
Amen.
Are we trying to go into this business deal? Let me look out for your good first. Now, you know you can't do that with the world because the world ain't looking like that.
Mm-hmm.
The world is trying to take as much advantage of you as it can. But if you're dealing with the saints, it's not supposed to be that way.
Amen.
We are not supposed to be that way with each other. But we're worried about whether somebody getting over on us. Truth of the matter is, if you're about doing what the Most High said do, then he's not going to let you be made a fool of anyway.
Mm. Man.
He's not going to let it happen. So we got to understand where to look out for each other. If I'm looking out for your good and you're looking out for mine, then when do we have time to take advantage of each other?
Amen.
We don't.
We don't.
Amen.
And it's just, you know, all we got to do is do what he says to do. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to get verses 10 and probably 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me get there myself. Yeah, no, let's start next in verse 1. Because, you know, we had this issue within this group when we first started off. And I want to, you know, address it from this scripture so we understand we should not be puffed up. First Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Now, there's a lot of people in this situation. They have been in this walk for a long time, and they're still babes in this walk. And they're prideful, trying to be somebody, want to elevate themselves above everyone else. It's not supposed to be that way, period. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? I'm not supposed to be jealous of you and what the Most High has done for you, is doing for you. I'm not supposed to be jealous of your gift.
Mm-hmm.
I should be hoping that you use it on me.
Amen.
That you're doing what the scripture says, that you're looking out for my well-being, I'm going to look out for yours. And I'm whatever the Most High has gifted me in, I'm going to use it to benefit you.
Mm.
Whatever the gift is. But if we are running around envying, if we're running around creating strife, if we're running around creating divisions, he said, are you not carnal? You're all about you. You're all about your flesh. You're all about the things of this world is really what it's saying. For a while one said, I am of Paul. This is an example he's given. And another one, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who are you supposed to be of? Christ. By one spirit. Are we all baptized into what? One body. So does it matter who brings you in?
Nope.
No.
No.
Should your faith be good? Should your faith or your... there's another word I'm looking for here. Your loyalty be to the person that brought you in.
No.
No.
No. Your faith, that's why I tell you, keep your eye on who?
The Father.
The Most High.
Father.
That's right. Keep your eye on him. Keep your eye on Mashiach. For while one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as Yah gave to every man. That's not a question. Somebody gave the gospel to everybody, right?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
We heard it from somebody.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
And if we got those people that we heard it from puffed up, you know, I only listen to this pastor. or this is the only place I go, but then they have taken you as far as they can take you, or you see them doing stuff that you know they ought not be doing, and your loyalty to them is because they brought you into Word.
Nope.
But you see them out there doing stuff they ought not do. And you know they ought not do it. Now, this is, you know, I want us to hear this because I have planted and Apollos watered, but Elohim gave the increase.
Mm-hmm.
So we're laborers, and it's Elohim that's giving what? The increase. He's the one actually doing the work. So then neither is he that planteth what? What does it say? He that planteth is
anything.
He is, neither is he what?
Anything.
He's water it.
Yeah, he's and neither is he that waters. So because I say I teach, I'm not, can't get puffed up about that. I might be watered today, planting tomorrow. If I'm helping another ministry, I might be going in and planting, and they're going back and watering. Neither one of us is supposed to get puffed up. Neither one of us is supposed to think that we're anything. Because the scripture just told you we're what? Nothing. It's Elohim that gets all the glory.
Amen.
And we're just supposed to be doing what we're supposed to do. Now, he that planted and he that waters are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. The Most High is going to reward us according to our labor. But we're not supposed to become puffed up and think that, oh, I'm a minister, so I'm somebody.
Hmm.
No, you're supposed to do the job that the Most High gave you to do. For we are laborers together with Elohim. You are Elohim's husbandry. You are Elohim's building. According to the grace of Elohim, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. If, you know, all truth aside, I would love to have some other laborers. But we can't be building a separate building.
Amen.
We can't be, you know, I can't be building a brick house, and then they want to be building some type of mud hut. Or vice versa. Because the parts ain't going to go together.
Amen.
And this is what the Most High is saying here. I have laid the foundation and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus, or Yeshua HaMashiach. So if he's the foundation, and then you read everything the Messiah says. He says, you know, don't willfully sin against me. Don't take for granted what I've done. Don't take my body or drink my blood and not look at your life and examine your life. Because if your life is out of order, you shouldn't be drinking or eating this.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not discerning. Don't come to the Lord's Supper and think you're going to have dinner. Because he ain't dinner.
Ooh.
He's not dinner. So you're not recognizing or reverencing him for who he is and what he did. That's why he says, don't come and take communion if you know you are walking in sin. He said a lot of people have died because of that. Not discerning his body. So if he's the foundation, then you got to find out Well, the foundation is built upon this. And you got to now start constructing the rest of the house based upon the foundation. Based upon his doctrine. Based upon what he actually says. So, I understand forgiveness. And I understand people coming into the knowledge of the truth. I think my problem in this whole process, I don't have a problem with new saints, people who don't know any better. My problem is for saints that have been in this thing for a minute and still in need of being taught again.
Amen.
And still going through doing things the same way that they've been doing it from the very beginning.
Hmm.
At some point, we should have grown?
Grown up.
Yes.
At some point, we should have matured.
Yes.
At some point, the Most High should have revealed some things to us.
Amen.
Amen.
And so when I'm looking at, like I said, most of the bodies that I'm dealing with, a lot of the pastors I'm dealing with, and I'm being like, good grief. Truth of the matter is, you really need to sit down. Because of what you're doing. But you have people that follow you. But in a lot of cases, they need to be retaught themselves. Let's continue. So the foundation that we build upon is Messiah. So the first part of that is salvation. Once you know what Messiah did and you are baptized into him, I think where this thing has been falling apart is people really don't understand the severity of what he did. He died for my sins. But I'm only human. I'm subject to sin again. And I think that is because people aren't being taught the severity of this thing. And that's why the house, when we see it, you go someplace and you'd be like, okay, you got a large congregation, but they still got all the problems or more. And it's like a big social club. And they're okay. But I really don't believe that it's okay with the Most High. Because I've been there. Been in those environments. Knew something, there's got to be something better than this. If this is the best that we got to offer, what if the Most High says no? If you look at it and you see, we got this going on in the church, we got that going on in the church, we got people don't want to pay tithes, they don't want to pay offerings, they don't want to support, they barely coming, they come only on holidays. They're still out here. They'll leave here and go party somewhere. You see all this stuff. But then you look at the pastor. I really look at the pastor and say, okay, what is he doing? So a lot of them fall because of that kind of stuff. And if you got into this thing because, believe it or not, a lot of men get into this because they couldn't become successful in the world. And they think that the children of the Most High are an easy target. Because it's very emotional. or they're very dynamic speakers. But you gotta base it on the correct foundation, and that is Mashiach. Got to. And then it's got to be correct. You know, I'm putting together a shed, and trust me, if the foundation ain't straight, I get halfway through the thing and have to take it all loose. Because the building ain't going to go together correctly. The same way with this word. So he says, but let every man take heed how he builds thereon. I don't want none of us trying to take advantage of Messiah. I don't want none of us thinking that what he did was, you know, we can just go back and keep pulling from that same tree. And we know that what we're doing is wrong. But we don't want to go to hell, but we don't want to do good either. We don't want to do right.
Drive the fence.
So that's not building on that foundation the way that he wants it to be built upon. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. What time we got? 7:36. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we're going to start in verse 17. But as Elohim has distributed to every man, as Yah has called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all the churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. If any man is called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Now this is for getting into the kingdom. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of Elohim. So we make circumcision a big deal, and it has its place. And the Most High tells us, you know, no uncircumcised stranger in heart or in flesh is going to enter into his tabernacle, enter into his temple. But when it comes to salvation, circumcision don't mean anything, and we went over that in Acts chapter 15. It has nothing to do with your salvation. Keeping the commandments does. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant and care not for it? But if thou mayest be made free, use it. Use it rather. For he that is called in Yah, being a servant, is Yah's freeman. And likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price, but you are not. But be ye not the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with Elohim. That's why you have to do this thing as unto the Most High. You have to be your focus. The Most High gives us leadership. He puts men over us. And when he's saying don't be any man's servant, he's talking about like as in a slave, as in that you are your whole purpose and your focus is serving this man, and your focus is not on the Most High. Because you got people that will do that. I go to this church because I like this pastor. And if that pastor falls, they stop coming to church. Because who are they worshiping?
The pastor.
That pastor. So we got to understand what he's saying in these verses. Uncircumcision doesn't count for anything, or circumcision doesn't count for anything in accordance with salvation, according to getting into the kingdom. So if you came in that way and you desire to be part of Israel, then there's going to be some things. Yeah, you're going to have to be circumcised. That didn't change. But that has nothing to do with your salvation. That has to do where you want to reside. It has to do with the Most High saying, you know what? You can't come up in my temple or in my temple in that condition. But don't make this a requirement for somebody's salvation. That's why we have to keep these things separate and understand, you know, what we're doing to keep them separate and apart and apply them where they need to be applied. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore you eat, 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of who?
Yeah. Elohim.
To the Most High Elohim. Everything that we're doing, we're supposed to do it to his glory.
Amen.
If you're doing something to his glory, then you shouldn't be doing anything bad, anything sinful. So, you think you should be eating a pork chop to his glory?
Nope.
Think you should be drinking 2/5 a day to his glory?
Nope. No.
Context, because see, people will take these verses and try to use them to do whatever they want to do, because they want to do it, but they don't realize who they're representing and who they're doing it to the glory of. How does that bring glory to the Most High?
It doesn't.
And it's in those contexts that we have to understand these things. As the disciples, we have to always, the context is, I am a child of the Most High, and that's who I represent. That's your context always. And I want to represent the Most High the best way I can. It's going to bring him glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And let's see if I want to cover more than what I have here. Just a second. And now we've talked about this, so we'll just do verse 20 and keep it in this context. Because we got to, you know, with speaking in tongues and prophecy and all this stuff, really the bottom line is this. 14 and 20. Brethren, be ye not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. You have to grow up in the word. You have to grow up in your understanding. We got people here in this chapter, the conversation is, well, speaking in tongues and prophesying and people doing all kind of things and no order. And Paul is having to set some order to some things so that the people could grow up and mature in it. Because you got people right now don't believe in speaking in tongues. You got some people right now that actually don't believe in truly being filled with the Ruach. You have some people that don't believe that you got to actually be water baptized. And they never grow up. They never come to any understanding, real understanding in the scriptures. They never grow up in it. They stay in at that child level. You know, it's hard to condone something if you've never experienced it. It's hard, you know, what I can't understand is how somebody's going to teach something that they never have experienced. To me, that's like you asking me to explain to you, describe to you the functionings of a rocket ship and what it feels like to fly in it, and I've never flown in one. Or if you've never flown on an airplane, and somebody say, describe to me how it feels to fly on an aircraft. You never flown on one. You can't describe it. You can say what you think, but you can't describe it because you have no experience with it. And that's the same way with some of these things in the scriptures. I asked a brother one time, he's given a lesson on tongues. I said, do you speak in tongues? No, I don't believe you have to. I said, well, then how are you going to teach it? You've never done it. You've never had the experience. How in the world are you going to teach that? You have no reference. You can read these verses, but you still have no reference. If the Most High has never used you to speak through you, how are you going to explain that to someone? But I see a lot of teachers doing it. And I'm like, wait a minute, let me go listen to some of their doctrine and let me see what they actually really say about this. And then I, you know, listen to a few sermons and find out, wait a minute, you don't actually believe that this is for today. So how are you going to teach this then? They never come to understand it. And they have malice in their hearts about this. Want to know why they have malice? Because they never did it. So it can't be required. I didn't do it. Well, if you didn't do it, then maybe you should ask somebody who has done it, who the Most High has walked in that way, to explain it to you. Don't come with your own understanding. And then tell people that's the way that it is. Because I see this a lot. I said, you haven't grown up yet. And you are still without understanding. But you think that you have it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If this is just Brother Miles talking. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of Elohim. I speak this to your shame. Now he's talking to the saints. But you got some saints that don't have the knowledge of Elohim. You got some teachers that don't have the knowledge of Elohim. Don't have any kind of relationship with him. Don't have a prayer life. They read this Bible. And then they want to say that they know something. But if you listen to them for a minute, you'd be like, okay, you got facts, but you don't necessarily have truth. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians. So before we move on, as a disciple of the Most High, if you're truly a disciple, then you should have knowledge of your Elohim. You should have a relationship. You should have something that you can say, I know Elohim did this for me. This is how I know. ask and he did it.
Man.
For me. Let me find out. Let me find a verse here in just a second. Maybe that's in Torah. Give me a hot second. We'll stop here for tonight. We'll go from this. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. And this, we're not using this verse for the tithing. We're going to use it for something else. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. And there's a different verse that I was looking for. But bring all ye the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me. What is the most I want you to do? Prove him. Now herewith, saith Yah host, prove if I will not open the windows of heaven to you and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The Most High, in another verse, he asks us to prove him. He don't want you to just believe just to be believing. He wants you to have a reason and know why you believe in him. Ask him for something that you know only he can do. If you know, that's if you don't have proof already, or I tell this to a person that has low faith that they really don't know if the Most High exists. I say, if you honestly you're seeking him, and you need proof, then ask him to do something for you that you know ain't going to just happen out of the blue. And let him know you need to know it because you need to prove him. He doesn't want us not to prove him. That's why he says, why he brought Israel into Mount Sinai. He said, you are my witnesses. I did all these things in front of you to prove myself to you when there was no strange God among you that you could give credit to it for, so that you would know that I am who I say that I am.
Amen.
And a lot of us, well, maybe we think that's too much to ask the Most High to prove himself. But you can ask him that. Prove to me that you are who you say that you are. Prove to me that you are my Elohim. Prove to me that you are the Elohim of this book. Do something for me. We don't believe we can talk to the Most High like that. Look at all the patriarchs. How will I know that your promise is good to me? Tell me what you're going to do. I told the Most High, I want to have the same experience as the apostles.
Amen. I do too, brother. Amen.
The exact, so that I know that I know that I know.
Yet I know that I know.
There ain't no doubt in my mind that he exists. There ain't no doubt in my mind that he's dealing with me. There's no doubt in my mind that he's in control of this world.
He's brother.
None whatsoever. Because he proved himself to me. The exact same experience the apostles have, he let me have it. And he didn't just give it to me either, because I was stiff-necked. I was hard-headed. He said, oh, you want me to prove myself, but you don't want to prove yourself. And, you know, as I told you guys, I heard the voice said, I will not forever call you. When I heard that, I knew who it was that was talking to me.
Amen.
And it didn't take no, who are you, Lord? It didn't take none of that. It was, yes, I hear you, and I'm on it, because you're telling me you're about to reject me. So it became all about him. And the experience that the apostles had, being filled with the Ruach and speaking in tongues, as the Spirit gives me utterance, those things are very real. The gift of healing, you know, and the thing is, there's a lot of times you can be sick in your own body and you need somebody else to lay hands on you. A lot of times I could speak to illnesses and they would go. And there's times I can't. And I don't know whether it's the faith I'm walking in at that time, or the most I was like, no, you need to deal with that one. You don't need to go through that. Or even laying hands on other people and the gift of healing, them being healed through the laying on of hands. So, you know, the Most High has shown me, has told me things ahead of time. When my oldest daughter wanted to get married, we didn't even know she was dating. Most High says, Hope wants to get married. Hope ain't even dating. I let it be known. That was like on a Sunday. That Wednesday she comes and says, you know, I want to, you know, I met this lawyer and he's a minister and I think I want to marry him. How long have you known him? Didn't want to say. Hadn't even known him a month. But the Most High let me know. You know, and I don't believe in psychic stuff.
Gosh.
Even though I know that when I was a young man, I had a gift. I could tell you anything about yourself. But I was using it for wickedness. And I asked the Most High to take it. Because I didn't want to go to hell for doing stuff like that. All right, so we'll pick this up next week. I don't think I want to do this tomorrow, discipleship. We'll get back into the discipleship, but tomorrow... if we're going to meet, I will send out a text message and give the time. I'm not really sure, because I think I want to get up early and try to work on the shed some, if the weather permits. If not, I will send out a message saying that we're going to meet at the normal time. It'll be open, you know, open phone, open forum, just like we've always been doing. And we will go from there. Yeah, we'll go from there. All right, let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word on this evening. Father, I just want to praise your name. I just want to give you glory and honor. I just want to be found pleasing in your eyes and to see your face.
Yeah.
see you in peace. Father, help us to build upon the foundation of Messiah. Help us to build upon it correctly, considering all things. And let us not just try to throw something together, but let it be with your guidance, by your hand. And whether we're working on a window or whether we're working on a piece of the wall, you know what you have us building. Reveal it to us, what we were working on and where it fits in, that we might do it in order. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
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 All right. All right, amen. So I need to call somebody right now and have a conversation in prayer with them. And I pray that the Most High keeps you all safe. I haven't looked at the weather up there, but I think the weather's still crazy in your area.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's just that time of year. And so make sure you stay safe.
You too, bro.
Don't go out unless you have to. And I'm not going to tell you what the weather is here because I don't want y'all hating on me.
Never will. Never hate on you. Never hate on you.
Yeah, amen. I was just playing, just pitching.
I know.
Amen. But, you know, I love you all. And for real, stay safe. Something is going around. I don't know if it's in the air. I don't know whether the government is doing this because, you know, looking at this news and stuff, a lot of people are getting sick. And they're talking about Omicron, but, you know, when they go and get tested, it's not COVID, but there is, you know, some illnesses going around. And the symptoms don't seem to be the same for everybody.
Amen.
Don't seem to be the same for everybody. That's what I'm checking out. You know, people are sick, but not having the same symptoms. You got, you know, people with extreme earaches. And then, you know, the rest of their body aching, but then they have, you know, same, you know, people, I talked to some people that had the same issues I had with, you know, just being extremely cold and could not get heated up. You know, some of them telling me that, hey, I went and ran hot water in the tub and got in the tub and still couldn't get warm. I said, yeah, I can kind of identify with that. I don't know what that is. So be careful, you know, and watch, you know, watch yourself outside, but also watch who you go around.
Amen.
Because, you know, you don't know. I really don't know. Most I haven't said, but this is strange. It really is. All right, so I will send out a text. If we're going to meet in the morning, I will send it out tonight. Did you guys get the link to the video?
I haven't looked at it yet.
All right, amen.
I haven't looked at it yet either, brother, but I will.
All right, amen. Okay, so I'm going to, yeah, I need to actually go out here. I'll probably do it in the morning sometime. I need to start harvesting some of these plants because it's just getting too big. But I want to make sure, you know, I can save, you know, I don't know if I'm going to eat them right away, but either blanch them and put them, you know, freeze them. Keep them for Passover or whatever. We'll see. So love you all. May the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, I love you, but I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom,
amen,
family.
Brother. Love you too,
Shalom.
Bro.
All right, peace.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
now Hawaii lives forever. Sing his praise which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. You created the world and the universe, and everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, pray that I never fall.